Well, good evening. Sorry for the late start. A couple of technical difficulties, but praise the Lord, we're here. Welcome those of us online, too. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Holy Ground.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Redeemer, sing, O Word, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Steve, do you want to do pick a hymns tonight? Okay. Anybody got a pick a hymn tonight? No. Oh, John said no pick a hymn. Too late. Pick a her.
All right, Miss Terry, where you at? Okay. All right, Miss Terry's going to share about her mission trip experience to Ukraine for 7.5 weeks. That's a long one. Here you go, girl.
I got to apologize. We still got purple spots on the screen, but we're working.
Oh, that's okay. So I'm not the most techie person in the world, that's for sure. So we will see how this works. Oh, sorry. Usually I don't have to put it too close. So while I was in Uganda 3 months ago, I got a call from Samaritan's Purse wanting to know if I'd be willing to go to Ukraine. And I wasn't for sure what the mission was at first, because I'm on the disaster assistance response team, and most of the time when we have deployments, it's for medical in a field hospital. Well, I knew that they had taken down the field hospital that was in Lviv, the west of Ukraine, because a dart field hospital is usually only open about 3 months, and they try to get the resources past the crucial point, the acute point, to the outer, bigger country agencies and whatnot to keep things going. And so what they wanted me to do was to go and teach trauma to the Ukrainian nurses and doctors, because the World Health Organization had asked Samaritan's Purse if they would do that, since Samaritan's Purse had had a lot of history and experience dealing with trauma from Mosul and opening a field hospital there, and then working with infectious diseases like Ebola. They asked Samaritan's Purse if they would come and help out with that. So the program was brand new, and I just prayed about it, and the Lord, when I asked Vince about going, I didn't think for sure he'd let me go, because I was just back, gone to another mission trip, and then he's told me, he said, well, that's what God's called you to do, hasn't he? So I'm very grateful for him and his support. Okay, yeah, go ahead. So this is Samaritan's Purse. This is what we do. We are based after the Good Samaritan story in the Bible, Luke 10:25. And if those of you that aren't familiar with it, I'll go ahead and share it again. And it's about a Jewish man that was traveling along a road, and robbers came and robbed him and beat him up and took everything he had, and even his clothes, and left him on the side of the road. And up walks a priest, a religious man, and he sees the man laying there, and he just walks on by like he didn't feel like he could help them, or it just wasn't that important. Then along came a Levite, and they seemed to think that might be like a government official or maybe somebody in the business of the temple business or whatever. Anyway, he walked on by. But then a Samaritan walked on by, and Samaritans didn't have any dealings with the Jews and even considered them to be his enemy, their enemy. And he saw the man on the ground, and he immediately had compassion on him, and he bound up his wound, so he met his physical needs right away. And he loaded him up on a donkey and took him to the inn and told the innkeeper, whatever he has, his expenses, take care of him, and I'll take care of it. The debate had come because Jesus was talking to a bunch of Pharisees, and they were saying, so who's our neighbor? Because he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And they were trying to trick him. And he said, okay, so who's your neighbor? So he said, so who is the neighbor? He told the story. He said, who's the neighbor in this story? And the neighbor was the one that stopped and helped. And so that's what the organization of Samaritan's Purse is based after, that when we see a need, we go immediately to help, and we meet their physical needs, their immediate needs, their crucial acute needs. And then you don't just leave them there. You help continue taking care of the best you can as you go. And why do you do that, even if it's your enemy? Well, because God says so, and because it's the right thing to do. And that's what God has called Samaritan's Purse to do. And I feel very, very privileged to be able to be a part of the organization. So we go in times of war and conflict. If there's any kind of sudden onset of a disaster, earthquake or whatever, they're there. And they're all over the world in different countries all over the world. Many, many offices, many different organizations of Samaritan's Purse overseas. And, of course, any epidemic, they were really, we responded to New York with COVID that I've spoke about before, Ebola, diphtheria, pertussis, all kinds of deployments, and then population displacement. So whenever the war came, there was a lot of people that were displaced that had to leave their home, and that's when Samaritan's Purse came in and set up a field hospital, and they met their needs there. So, okay, you can go on the next one. This is a short film about right when the war started.
When there's suffering in the world, we go to it. We run to the sounds of the gun. And here during conflict and war, we want to love on our neighbor. The hospital medical system in Ukraine is completely decimated and overrun. People that have gone through so much and have lost so much, they don't know where to turn. They need help. Right now, we're offloading the EFH, the emergency field hospital at Samaritan's Purse has, off our DC-8 cargo plane here in Poland. But tomorrow we're going to take it into Ukraine, and we're going to set it up to serve those that are in greatest need from this war and conflict. I spent 16 years in conflict and war in the military, and war is horrible. It's great loss. It's suffering, especially for children, for the innocent. And we get to meet the immediate needs of those that are suffering at Samaritan's Purse. That's what we're called to do here, to be like the Good Samaritan. And we get to share that the reason we came is Jesus loves you. Samaritan's Purse doctors are skilled. They come from all over the world to serve on our team, and we can bless those that need it most.
So that was right before right as the war started, and that is what we want to do. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This video is near where I was at one point, not when this was going on, but I was in this city after all this had happened. And this kind of will give you a taste of some sounds we heard and the scenery and what they're dealing with. Samaritan's Purse delivered a lot of food, medical supplies, a lot of things before we even got there. So.
А мой, у них такой вот. Это выход. Хлопцы, тогда едьте на заказ, я сейчас хлеб.
Hi, my name's Paul Carr, and I'm here with Samaritan's Purse in Odessa, Ukraine. Today, we're here at our warehouse, Samaritan's Purse, utilizing our church partners, our distributing food baskets into the red zones, into the areas that have been heavily affected by this conflict.
Во дворе у людей, только что им прилетела кассетная бомба, и мы сейчас им привезли продукты, два пакета, сейчас еще что-то привезем.
Да ну, сидели во дворе, пили кофе, курили, и начались прилеты. Во двор попало, в поле попало.
Поэтому вот такая вот ситуация. Молимся, благословляем, чтобы поскорее эта война закончилась и все было. Берегите себя, все будет хорошо.
Где сейчас?
Хочу выразить, мы сейчас находимся в Славянском районе, фронтовое село. Мы привезли гуманитарную помощь. И хочу выразить огромную благодарность сумке самаритянина и всем тем, кто участвует в том, чтобы мы довозили продукты в такие села. Продуктовый набор. Мы сегодня привезли около 300 штук.
Возвращаю обратно.
People who have been affected by the conflict here are suffering a lot, but the love and hope that we're sharing in the name of Jesus Christ here is really practically helping and is also bringing the people of Ukraine a lot of hope. So I just want to ask you just to continue to keep the people of Ukraine in your thoughts. Thank you.
So I'll admit that I don't think I had one person that I knew understood why I was going. I just felt like that was what the Lord wanted me to do, and I had perfect peace about it. I don't know why that was there, but anyway, that just shows you how big Ukraine is. But what we wanted to do is just go and be the hands and feet of Jesus as a medical training team. I just wanted to share a few facts about Ukraine, if you're not familiar with it. Ukraine is, next to Russia, is the largest country in Europe. It's huge. It's as big as the state of Texas. And you'll look, it's not real far from, well, it doesn't show it there, but Austria. So it's a beautiful country. The people are beautiful. Go to the next slide, please. That's the flag. They're very proud of their flag. My first week that I was there, I went to church, and the pastor there said, our flag really should be blue, yellow, and red. And he showed a picture of a young soldier's badge on his uniform that was stained with blood, whom he had lost his life and given his life for. And he said, I would have never dreamed that after 1991, where they received their independence from the Soviet Union, that they would have to be going to war again. So it's a very high price. And these people have had a taste of what that type of life is like, and they would rather die than to live that kind of life. And that's how precious our freedom is. And when I would see these young men defend up and down the streets, and at every checkpoint, they were young men. And I thought, I don't know if the same thing happened to America, if we would have that big of a response of those that would stand guard and fight for what is ours, what we believe God has given us as a country. I don't know. Those people are paying a very, very high price. They've always paid struggled with their independence since they've been in existence. This was the, I thought you might want to see a train, what that looked like my first day when I got on the train. Okay. Did you show the one of the other two? Okay. So that, the little symbol is called the trident. That they're very, very proud of that symbol. That right there is the Crimea Peninsula. It's beautiful, so you can see why they have fought over it so much. Russia had claim to it, but they have taken over, and then the bridge explosion happened. So now they're not completely occupying the territory, but you could understand why they would want to do that. That's a very bumpy ride, I might say. Go ahead. And that's me with the pitcher laying on the ground for 15 hours with no air conditioner. But it was rather interesting. It was really a lot of fun. Okay. So that's with me on my way. And we'll switch to the slideshow that has the presentation. In this presentation, you'll see a lot of nurses and doctors with us as a team. And I can tell you, in every one of those pictures, they wanted to have their picture taken with us, and which just blessed our hearts so much. And I would just share with them, you know, I may have 4 hours that day, I may have 2 hours that day to teach, and I would just tell them, you know, I know that you've not experienced a trauma like war, but you really have as healthcare workers. Because I don't know what you've seen, and I don't know what you've heard. And I know you're exhausted, and I know you're lonely. Half of the healthcare workers have left, so they're pulling doubles, so their families are gone. But I said, and there's very little that I can share with you in just 4 hours that would really make a lot of difference, other than just to let you know that God loves you. He's not forgotten about you. We're behind you, and if there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know, and we'll pray for you. And we had a prayer box that we put at the front where they'd put their prayer request, and we would pray for them. You'll see us working as a team. We had a lot of fun. Everyone was very appreciative. I did have one humbling moment. I called my friend Eileen, who's so gracious to be here tonight. And I said, I am so embarrassed. I taught a trauma surgeon today. And she said, well, they knew we were teaching on trauma, so they came to hear our trauma lectures. And so we were teaching our thing, you know, and I was wondering, oh, my goodness, they can answer these questions. So these nurses are sharp. And come to find out, they were all residents, and it was packed. But they wanted to come take our picture and told us thank you. And we learned a lot from them as well. We had a really, really good time. So I hope that you guys enjoy the slideshow.
God.
Flow. It was it was difficult time, but I just felt the Lord's presence. I felt complete peace while I was there. Time and again, the Lord directed us and took care of us. The day that I was leaving was the day that Putin decided to shoot his 80 missiles that day. I was supposed to go to the Capitol, ride another 15-hour train ride to the border, and got diverted and did not even have to go on a train, which is kind of nice. But the different people that you saw in those films, we had four or five nationals, three or four translators, two drivers. They were all professionals. Many of them, you know, had master's degrees. One of them was a pilot, a commercial pilot, was out of work, so he drove for us. And they loved doing it. One guy was the heavyweight champion of weightlifter for his in Ukraine, the national champion. They were very, very respectful. We prayed for a lot of them because some of them, we weren't even for sure if they knew the Lord personally. They were very religious, and I don't know, you know, the beautiful buildings. I took a lot of pictures. The Orthodox Church is their national church, and a lot of them just go just because that's the thing to do. And some of them... of the people there have just been kind of born into this this lifestyle and have and aren't really faithful in their walk with the Lord, may not know the Lord personally, may be religious but not know him personally. The churches that we got to go and fellowship with on the weekends were usually in places that were in a big office building with the corner that they turned into a church, and it was just so sweet to see how the Lord moves in their lives across the way, and they minister to us as well as we minister to them. I was sharing with the kids last week when we talk about being on a mission trip. I think the funnest thing, the reason we love mission trips, the reason I love mission trips, is because you get to be the person that you want to be. You're more focused on heavenly, eternal things because that's your mission there. You're less distracted because you're focused on your job to do and what you're doing. You're surrounded by godly people. The organization's wonderful and very supportive, and the focus is just always, you know, helping people and thinking on things of heaven. And when it takes your mind off of all the awfulness going on in this world, it's a guilt. I feel guilty. I really, when I go those places, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing at all. I feel like that they bless my heart. When I go, it's just the most wonderful thing. But, you know, God hasn't called everybody to go overseas, and that's okay. God equipped me, gave me the desire, gave me the ability, gave me the circumstances to where I could go, and I'm just so thankful that he did. It was just hard. You know, we would look out the audience, and you'd see all the different faces, and Ukrainians are pretty stoic people. They're not real emotional, but they're very honest with you. If they like things, they'll tell you. If they don't, they'll tell you. But every time when I would say, we care about you, we're just so sorry. Their eyes would tear up and they would nod their head, and they were always so, so thankful. And they'd come up and they'd just hug us. Because, you know, one nurse, I was telling them, you know, you guys, y'all make sure you take care of yourself. They stay up there for 24-hour shifts. And I tell them, you take care of yourself. It's very, very important. And as much as you can. And one nurse goes, well, what else are we going to do? Their families are gone. They want to serve and feel valuable to the community. It was very humbling to see the dedication of those healthcare workers and to see what the nationals are going through. I had never been in a place of war, and it was so surreal because everybody just goes about their daily life. It's business as usual. If you decide to stay, you go to work. And if you leave because of the potential of getting hit, then you are a refugee and you leave. So it was just everybody seemed like they were going along their day as normal. But I don't know if you remember one of the slides. It was an office building really tall that had been bombed. That was the only one that I really saw up close. And that one's on news videos and whatever. It was an apartment building, and down below were businesses, which is common. And on one corner of the building was a clinic, and a doctor and two nurses were killed that day just working in the clinic. And I would watch the people's expressions while we were going down the highway or as they were walking to work, and they would step down on the curb and they'd look up and they'd see that building. And then you could just see their face. It was just a somber, and then they just kept going. So it was just very, I just want to tell you that I really, really appreciate your prayers. I definitely, definitely felt them. And I'm so very grateful for the opportunity that I was going. And it felt good to know I had a church family praying for me. So does anybody have any questions about anything? Mm-hmm.
Supplies coming in. Do the hospitals have enough, or are they lacking in anything?
Yeah, they are struggling, but the DC-8s from Samaritan's Purse, they have loaded them down, hospitals after hospitals, with medical supplies. And we would go to them, and they'd hear we were Samaritan's Purse, and they'd come and bring us in there and show these crates after crates after crates of all these supplies, things that we take for granted. I saw a man that had, you know, the things I couldn't show you because of, you know, just confidentiality and as respect to them. You know, when you get a chest tube, it has this sterile drain hose that goes into this sterile container, and his was draining into a Pepsi bottle. His chest tube was draining into a Pepsi bottle. And they didn't have the translucent, transparent dressings that are sterile. They would just have, like, gauze on all their open lines and whatever. And we taught them how to do with what they had to help keep things clean and as sanitary as they could.
My second question is, how was the food?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was supposed to lose 10 pounds, but that didn't happen. But I ate really healthy. But I just ate so much of it because it was so good every time. And those pictures that you saw of the wilderness, that would be on my morning walks and granny trots in the morning. I took pictures. It's such a beautiful country. Yeah, the food was wonderful. A lot of fruits and vegetables for breakfast. They would always have, you know, tomatoes, a lot of cucumbers. And their cucumbers are different. They're real crispy. They're so good. And then a cheese would be out. Bell peppers, all kinds of peppers, mushrooms, and they didn't have a lot of dairy, but they would have a lot of like a milk called kefir. It's like, and then they would have yogurt, and they would have that type of stuff. A lot of hummus. Borscht is their national dish, soup that's really good. They love pastries, and what is so amazing, because they seem to be so skinny. The Ukrainian women are known to be beautiful women, just the way their body features are, and they're all just so skinny. My roommate was just so skinny, and their long hair, and yet they eat the desserts, but they just walk a lot. They go, 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 and they eat healthy foods. So, yeah. Okay, so there were three main lectures that we would teach. We had three different teams. There's a trauma team, burn team, and infection prevention. And we would have a translator with us, and the slides would be in Ukrainian. And we just had a lecture where we taught. They, you know, even today at all the hospitals, nurses have to have continuing education. And some of these doctors and nurses were in family care or in a med-surg floor. I'd never seen trauma before. So I would teach on a triage system, like if the bus comes of all the soldiers, what do? You have to be able to sort them emergently, and that's something that Samaritan's Purse has been able to do real well. And I teach them that, and then talk about different injuries that they would be and how to assess them, how to intervene for them. Some hospitals varied. We would go to some, and I'd show a bag valve mask, you know, that you put on someone that's not breathing very well, that kind of forces oxygen in. And some nurses, we brought them to practice, and some nurses had never used one before. Some doctors had never used one before. And so they were real anxious to try it. And then you would go to some, like the one in down south that was hit a lot. Those nurses said, oh, we use those every day. So it just varies from place to place. Their nurses there actually rank from being the janitor to more like an above-average nursing assistant. Most of the doctors do all of the procedures. A paramedic, however, is considered above a nurse. So if you work in an acute care of the hospital, like in an ER, and if you start the IVs and do the procedures, they're usually nurse paramedics. They were always really thankful. And there were times that they, like I was teaching one time about when you get cardiac tamponade, that's when blood surrounds the sac of the heart, and the heart has a hard time beating because of it's being constricted. And then we would talk about a pericardial syntesis. And so the doctor in the front asked me, she generally wanted, he said, so what are your landmarks for the pericardial syntesis? And I thought, I apologize. I've always assisted. I know the need and the intervention. I've done needle decompressions, but I've never done cardio. And anyway, after break, he came up to me and he showed me, this is what you do, this angle, this sort of, because he read about it. So they were really interested on things. We had to teach them over and over, like we have to go to classes every year just on hand washing and infection. And, 15% of infections in a hospital to this day worldwide, including here, is related to nosocomial infections. That means they didn't come in with it. They got it from healthcare workers, mostly from not washing their hands properly or putting on gloves. We were showing them how to put on gloves. We were showing them how to put on gowns properly. And it was so hard to get them to practice because they saw that pair of gloves. They didn't want to waste it. They didn't want to waste that gown. We said, put them on. They're expired. They were donated. No. I had the hardest time when I was teaching them about burns, how to bandage a burn. They did not want to open that package because that was precious, and they would ask if they could take it with them. It was very humbling to them. Yeah. We stayed in hotels, and we were really spoiled rotten, I'll admit. Samaritan's Purse takes really good care of their staff. They would have, we would usually got it real cheap, like half the price. And this time, people are gone, so they're thankful for whoever's there. So we got to stay. We were picked to stay in places that were really safe, that had a bunker or some way where the situation was safe and secluded. We were watched very carefully. The Samaritan's Purse security team is amazing. Consists of people even from from the U.S. top military security, former military security. So we were watched really well and had a tracking device at all times. It was a way to communicate to anybody everywhere we went. We never were walked alone. We always had someone with us. Any other questions? Uh-huh. They are building a country office that will stay, and I've often wondered when the response would end according to security as well. And basically, and I agree with them, the idea was the bombs are what brought us, and we're not leaving because of them. We're there because God's called us there to be with those people. They need us. And as long as God gives us the ability to do it, we're going to do it. And I don't know how long this war is going to end. It's just so, so sad. It's torn that place apart because they were part of Russia. They're so intermingled with Russia. But they're very quick to tell you when I would ask them, so have y'all gone over there and bombed, or have y'all tried to, and never, no, we would never. It's all about defense, the Iron Dome trying to shoot out those missiles, which is very, very expensive. So, yeah.
Next question would be, do you happen to know what the percentage of hospital staff that fled the country?
Almost 40%, 30 to 40%. And there's no mandatory staying in an emergency like we have here in the U.S. They left, doctors left. We saw a lot of hospitals damaged, but, that ought to be building them back. A lot of things were boarded up. That's what's so awful. It's so senseless to bomb hospitals and to bomb houses and, Is Ms. Martin?
Ask the one video that we received.
the bombs were not continuous. What was continuous was the air raids. And the air raids meant that there is a drone or something that has invaded the airspace close by. That would go off all the time. And most of the time, they were able to shoot them down. And most of the time, they were drones, and they were drones from Iran. And they knew that 2-3 months ago because the way they were built. And they most of the time could shoot them out of the sky. We would hear the ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. But when we would hear the shoo, we knew that they missed it. But that was the closest place I was down in Odessa was they had bombed the port, but it was far where we were. We were strategically placed to where the interest would not be there. I will have to say that I would hear the raid. When the air raids would go off, most of the people just got to where they just ignored them because, I mean, you have to make a choice. Are you going to go and leave and go and get in the bunker all night long? I mean, if you have to get up and go to work the next day. But when it would go off, all the businesses would shut down. And I've been at the cash register before, and they would shut down until they got the all clear. And I never once had to use my bunker gear and only had to once go down to a basement because we were thinking there could be something in the area. But the times that the drones get through is when they send a whole bunch of them at once, and then they can't get them when they land. Any other questions? Oh, so I saw this in the dress shop. They normally wear normal clothes, but every now and then they have special occasions. And even a couple of Sundays we were there, everybody wore them to there. And I just fell in love with it. I thought it was so pretty, and so I got it and thought, whenever I give my talk, I'll dress Korean. But my friends were worried that I was going to wear it like to a wedding or something. I think. Right. Thank you so much for being my church family and for praying for me, and thankful to my family for letting me go and being behind me. There were days that I cried. I was very, very lonely, and I just would open my Bible and I'd remember why I was there, and the Lord would always give me the joy. And whenever, every day, I mean, it didn't matter how tired we were after we taught. We were just so energized because we knew they were so thankful. Thank you so much for coming. Please come back. We need this. We need more of this. Please come back. And, you know, some of them were doctors, and it's like, thank you so much for listening. That's about it. Thank you, friends, for coming. I have friends here that came to see me tonight. I'm so thankful for that.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Terry. Yeah. Very good. All right, kids, we're going to have a closing word of prayer. You ready? All right, let's do it. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for this time of testimony. Thank you for Samaritan's Purse, Lord. And we thank you for Ms. Terry's service there. We pray that would continue as she's able to do that. And Lord, as we have prayed over the months and weeks, and Lord, as we continue to probably be praying about this for a year or more, we continue to pray for safety for the Ukrainian people, Lord. We pray that you give them the resolve and the resources to drive out the aggressor. And Lord, we pray that somehow you would intervene in Russia and, Lord, just allow maybe a leadership change to happen and this war to come to an end. But Lord, we pray for protection for Ukraine, for the people, and especially for Americans that are over there trying to help and serve and help the people. So, Lord, thank you for everything that's happening here in America, sending aid and help and Samaritan's Purse people over there, Lord, and we just praise you and thank you for it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Have a blessed week.